Welcome to the Logistics Tribe. I'm Boris Felgendreher, founder of the Logistics Tribe, and today's guest is Paul Norford, a very likable guy, as you'll hear in a second, who is a solutions evangelist at Zebra Technologies. Zebra has been around since 1969, and they're probably most known for their barcode scanners, printers, and other handheld devices. But there's a lot of innovation happening in edge technology, and that's what today's show is all about. Our host today is Marco Prugelmeier, who spent over 20 years in various logistics leadership roles at BMW. Marco, take it away.
Thank you, Boris. We have Paul Norford as a guest in the show. He is a solution evangelist for Zebra Technologies. Paul, welcome to the show.
I'm very well, Marco. Thank you for the opportunity and the invite of me being on the show. It really is fantastic to be here.
Yeah, great that we meet again. Paul, you are a solution evangelist for Zebra Technologies. Could you explain us what an evangelist is, actually? We probably know it from the Holy Bible, but not from logistics.
Indeed. So if you think about evangelist, the term evangelist, when you boil it all the way down, is effectively a storyteller. And for me, being an evangelist for the company, I saw a gap in a consistent way of us telling our story. We're very good at saying what we do and sometimes how we do it. But for me, there wasn't that real nugget of why we do what we do. So I found this role, jumped into it, and now there's a consistency of telling our story, why Zebra does what we do, and then we move into the how and then what we deliver as well. So an evangelist is just a storyteller, and that's what I do. I'm a solutions evangelist, and it's great to tell the stories of where we've come from in Zebra Technologies and where we're going.
That's great, because then you have the whole scope of your company, right? So actually from where you come from and where you want to go in the future. And right. I always knew Zebra as the scanning and the printing company. And yes. I think that's sort of where you come from. But could you maybe tell your story on that?
Yeah, sure. So I think before I jump into that, I'd have to say that as a company, change is an integral part of our DNA. We are ferociously changing. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're changing is to stay relevant. If you don't change, you don't stay relevant. So across our 50 plus year history, we started out with, I suppose, creating the humble barcode. And then from there, we've acquired companies, and we've slowly evolved and changed whilst the market has been moving to stay relevant, to stay front and center, or strictly speaking, to stay at the edge of our customers' operations in order to ensure that they have got visibility as to what's going on. And they're also able to evolve what they're doing in order to stay relevant for their customers and their partner community as well. So much more than just scanners, we'll do printing, of course, with the acquisition of Motorola Solutions business, the enterprise business, which is where I came into the company from. Mm-hmm. We brought mobile computing.
When was that?
So that would have been in 2014. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's right. I think I joined the company in 2013. So I'm seven. That's right. So I'm seven at the moment in my total Zebra years. The Motorola Solutions, Business Solutions acquisition happened in 2014. That's when it closed. So, of course, Zebra then became not just a printing company, but then brought scanners, mobile computing, and all the rest of it as well. And then even with our latest acquisition, Reflexis, we're constantly on that change journey to stay relevant to our customers and our partners.
Very interesting. And doing some research beforehand, I also learned that zebras live in the savanna, right? And savanna has to do something with your newest business that you ramped up. Could you go more into that topic?
Yes, I'll cover that off in a tiny little bit of detail. So again, back to the whole piece of change and evolving to stay relevant. there is lots and lots of data that's out there. And if we drill that down to some of our products and our services, we're able to capture data. Let's say, for example, the operation of a particular mobile computing device. Let's say it's a TC-77. We're able to capture how that device is operating. We're not capturing personal information. We're just capturing how that device is operating. We can see from the gyroscope, from the accelerometer, what's going on with that device. We can see battery information, all of those things. And from that, we can put that into our Savannah. I suppose the easiest way to term it is a data engine. So we'll put that, feed all of that into our data engine. And then from that, we're able to serve up particular details whereby we can give next best data-driven, next best moves for our customers in real time so they can make a decision that will either impact their business positively or negatively. So a simple, straightforward example would be leveraging the security of blockchain. So we can integrate APIs or have APIs available for our partner community to use, leverage blockchain and have that served up in their ecosystem to be able to deliver better services, more tuned services to our customers and our partners.
Okay, interesting. Let's go into detail a little bit more on that. So did I understand it right that Savannah is actually a cloud platform, right?
Correct, yes, it is.
And how do you connect this with the blockchain technology? I didn't get that part so far. So how does blockchain, what role does blockchain play in all the data collection of all the Zebra devices at their customers?
So one of the things that we are doing is ensuring that with this, with our cloud-based data engine, Savannah, we're ensuring that we're not just using the output from it, we're also making those outputs available by exposing APIs for our customers and partners to use. Blockchain clearly is around security. So a real key benefit of leveraging blockchain would be if I'm serving up a particular application or I'm serving up parts of that application, I can leverage blockchain technology to ensure that whatever goes into the Hyperledger and what's read from the Hyperledger is completely secure just by the workings of how blockchain technology works. So if we can bring that in to the workflow that our customers are able to use, we're building in inherent security into that platform to ensure that our customers' data is secure.
Okay, right. I got it. So you're using blockchain and specifically Hyperledger for this?
Yes.
To really manage all the security issues and to make sure that only those people get access to the data that are really allowed to, and that this is visibility and traceable, and that you can make sure that this is very secure, right?
Absolutely. Yes, correct.
And I also learned something very new about Zebra, which was not really in my mind before, and that was that you are also connected somehow to the NFL. Is that right?
if you will, our zebras sit on the shoulders of our NFL players. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's our technology.
That's a great picture to have in mind. Yeah. That would be something for a commercial call.
Yeah, so
I imagine just all the NFL players with their zebra on the shoulders, carrying that in the game. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is it about technically?
Sure. So our technology goes into we've kitted out all of the arenas and all of the. The word escapes me now. All of the fields where the NFL happens in the US. So effectively, we've got spatial positioning around our players. So the players have got a couple of RFID tags that they wear in their shoulder pads. There's a tag in the ball as well, and around the stadium, we've put our RFID sensing technology, then there is a huge amount of computing work that happens. So, for example, if you have a ball that is currently traveling from one end of the field to the other one, we've got spatial spatial positioning with the players. Our system calculates how fast the ball is going, the trajectory of the ball, also how fast our players, the players are going as well. And we're able to serve that information up, not just to the coaches for analysis and for training, but we're also able to serve up exactly the same data to a lot of the people who watch the NFL. So you can have an engaging conversation around, well, my particular player who I'm a big fan of, let's call him Smith. He was traveling much faster this week than he was last week. You know, what's happened? Has he changed his diet? All that good stuff. And as a big fan of that, I can get engaged in a conversation around that particular player. And I can engage with some of my friends. We can talk about it. And it really does bring a whole nother layer to the analytics and the game analysis, not just for coaches, but also for the fans.
Okay, so I, as a fan, could really access this data?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so there are special platforms and I can buy in and I can really access the data of my favorite teams and players and so on.
Indeed, you can.
Statistics.
Now, I have to say, I'm not a fan of the NFL. I ball sports are not my thing. I prefer
cricket. More cricket in London. Right?
Even though I'm in the country that loves cricket, I am not a fan of cricket, my friend. My okay. sport is more, let's say, petrol and two wheels. I'll leave it there.
Okay. All right. Do you have some analytics going on for that sport too?
I do have some analytics going on for that sport. The analytics mainly are based around my own senses. So the sense of smell and then I suppose the sense of speed, literally with my head going from one way to the other way. That's the only analytics that I'm concerned about.
Okay, Paul. And coming back to the NFL and the tracking that you do there for the NFL.
Yes.
Could you go a little bit more into the technology that is involved there? Because I was reading a lot of RFID, or is this a little bit more like UWB tracking on the
ultra
wideband? What is the technology? Ultra wideband. Okay.
So that's a great question, and I'm not going to answer that question because I am not 100% sure. So I'm going to pass on that one. However, I can connect you with some of our teams who know this technology inside out.
No, it's okay. It's ultra wideband. That's really something that you can imagine for that kind of problem that you have there, tracking the players on a big field. That makes sense in my point of view.
Okay.
Paul, going back where we met, we have been at the TAL conference, Trends in Automotive Logistics.
Yes.
In Czech Republic, a great conference.
Yes.
Back there, I think Corona was already mentioned, but it was really far away. It was somehow in China still at that point in February.
It was, yes.
And I remember we were sitting there in a conference room with several hundred people there. Just a normal conference, yeah. And it's just not to imagine right now in these times. We're both back in lockdown right now, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the second lockdown we're experiencing together.
Second lockdown right now. So, how did you experience this year personally, and also from a Zebra technology viewpoint? So how was this crazy year for you guys?
Ooh, Marco, that's a great question. A great question. I think. If I probably attack maybe both professional and personal at the same time, I think the one word really stands out for how we have performed this year, and that word is pivot. We've been very quick to analyze what's going on in our business. We've been very quick to support our local governments, not just here in the UK, which is where I'm based, but also around the world. As you know, we've helped stand up the Nightingale Hospital. Some of our teams literally took equipment in during or just before the first lockdown happened, some of our teams took equipment in, got it set up for that Nightingale Hospital that's based in London. And we were using all of our Zebra Technologies medical grade equipment such that it can be wiped down with the correct grade of alcohols and things like mm-hmm. that. So using our technologies, going straight into that hospital, and our teams went in and they were able to help our National Health Service get that hospital stood up. The other piece around pivoting as well is that I'm part of the training team. And one of the things that we often do is gather our teams together and we will push them through face-to-face training. There'll be some pre-work to do, but we'll effectively push them through face-to-face training and then have follow-up coaching, as an example. We've had to flip that on its head very, very quickly and provide video-based, self-paced learning. And you see kind of what's going on behind me at the moment. And part of that pivot was me personally changing the way I actually work. So my entire workflow has changed personally in order to drive a professional pivot that we have done inside the company. Our sales teams are doing much more virtual work. We are training our teams in terms of how to sharpen their skills in a virtual world. And before, and I'm sure some of your listeners won't know this, they won't be privy to this information, but before we actually started the recording, we were talking about some of the skills that I had before joining Zebra. And one of the things that I was trying to do was to become a radio presenter. So leveraging those skills
helps you right now.
Yes, I've got a great face for radio, I've been told. But being able to leverage that natural skill that I've learned years ago now into this virtual way of working really does lend itself very, very nicely. And the link to bring those two things together is extremely small. So being able to use those skills in this new way of working really has created a profoundly positive impact to the way we work. It really has been. Personally, again, it's been a very interesting journey. There are obviously two ways of looking at it. Of course, when this first happened, wow, what's going on? Are we really in this new world? But for me, if you tilt your head to the side, there's always opportunity. But sometimes it's very difficult to find those silver linings. But they are there. They really are there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also looking always positive into the future. And we wouldn't actually probably not sitting here without Corona and doing podcasting, right?
I mean, correct.
That's something new that we learned and that we're building up right now. Yeah, and that's interesting. And that's
right.
A new opportunity.
That's right. It's opportunity, just like we've both agreed.
And you said that Zebra as a company established it to really change, do the quick change and to this new world and to adapt to this very fast. And also setting up some of their technology in a hospital or in more hospitals. And do you also plan or did you come up with some way in using your technology also for COVID, for keeping the distances in factories or something like that? Because I could imagine that this would be a good use case. We were talking before for the NFL and the player tracking. So this could be also used in other cases, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Marco. One of the things that obviously has caused a massive issue is proximity and being too close to people. We're still unsure as to how the virus actually jumps from one person to the other. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know where we are with that. But one of the things when it comes to pivoting, and again, change is part of our DNA, okay? So one of the things that we have done with regard to pivoting is we have created a brand new application, which is called MotionWorks Proximity. MotionWorks Proximity allows employers to keep all of their employees safe. So with the ability to have tracking on our devices, it's designed to ensure and designed to alert users to the potential social distancing problems where they might be working in relatively close proximity. That application as well, MotionWorks Proximity, is a, it's a great solution that allows not just the potential social distancing issues that may occur in an employer's operation, but also it provides a full historic contact map, so you can see exactly what's gone on with regard to the entire history of that user and that device. So again, if we hadn't have had COVID, we wouldn't have created that solution.
How does that work from a technically standpoint? Is this a kind of a wristband that I'm wearing, or how does that work?
So it's not a wristband. It's all encapsulated into the device using Bluetooth.
You're using your devices.
Okay. Correct. Exactly. And this has been developed specifically for our Zebra devices. So we have a raft of devices, and you can find those on zebra.com, of the devices mm-hmm. that can be used with regard to the MotionWorks proximity solution. But it uses the built-in technology that's inside our devices to work.
Okay, so if I'm responsible for logistics operations in a factory, and mm-hmm. my people are carrying Zebra devices for scanning and so on, mm-hmm. then I can basically upgrade to this technology where I can actually see how they are keeping their distance between each other, and that I can do also contact tracing based on the device.
That is absolutely correct, indeed. We're already using this in our own Zebra facility. So we have a facility in the Netherlands, and inside that facility, we're using our own technology. We're, I suppose, eating our own dog food, as it were, to ensure that our teams are also
good.
Safe.
It's the best.
That our teams are also safe when they are working to support not just our customers, but our partner community as well. So it is something that we've developed, and it is working. We are using it ourselves, and we have made the solution available for our customers and partners to leverage too.
Yeah, that's really something really new that evolved, and how Zebra has adapted to Corona and to the circumstances that we have all right now, right?
Absolutely.
Paul, if we stick to the topic visibility, this seems to somehow, you mentioned it beforehand, and this seems to go right like a red line through all the Zebra history. And I read somewhere that one of the key points of the mission is to make assets and workers visible, right? But I think that you not only, if you're saying workers, that you're not only talking about human workers. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. So when it comes to workers, we are now well into the fourth industrial revolution. The digital revolution. Throughout history, you'll see lots of changes with regard to technology and humans interacting. When we crafted this statement, with that in mind, with the fourth industrial revolution, with regard to computer vision, with regard to AI, we have got to ensure that when it comes to work, it's not just about humans. I suppose you could say that we're being inclusive. We're including technology into that workers bracket as well, because technology also works not just for us, but technology also works with us. So we have got to ensure that we've left the platform open for customers who choose to remove humans from a repetitive function, or even some sort of learning function, that we're able to put technology in that space such that humans can then, I suppose, evolve, their job function will evolve to do something else, to do something that's much more meaningful. I think when it comes to things like empathy, I don't believe that computers will be able to give us humans empathy. It may well happen one day, But at the moment, certainly from what I see, I would rather hug a human when it's possible than hugging a robot for that level of empathy. So yes, you're right. So when it comes to enabling edge technologies to ensure that our work is visible and workers are visible and optimally utilized, that really is the key driver for our enterprise asset intelligence vision.
I think that's really a great statement and outlook for the future. And as you know, Paul, my mission is kind of bringing logistics to high tech. Yeah, that's kind of where I believe in. Obviously, Zebra Technologies is also following this path. And I assume that you are already building robots, right?
We are working with robots. We are working with companies that are developing robots. But remember, this all comes back to what you beautifully articulated around visibility. The key thing is you can't manage what you can't measure, and you can't measure what you can't see. And all of our investments are all around that key statement. So although historically we've created new things, MotionWorks Proximity, for example, and the acquisition of certain companies, Profitect and also Reflexis, this is all driving to one strategic direction, which is being able to ensure that we help our customers increase their productivity and that they decrease their errors. And visibility is the key thing that we are putting right in front of our customers and partners to be able to deliver that. And we are delivering that already.
Right. And that's what I was referring a little bit beforehand with the robot. You started something like a smart site robot. Yeah? I imagine this is like the shelf counting items robot that you probably see already in the stores.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit more about SmartSite?
Yeah, I can. Not too much detail though, obviously, but because you can get all the detail on the website. But effectively, SmartSite is used in conjunction with something that we call Fulfillment Edge. So what you're referring to is what we call our EMA, our Emma 50 robot, and that robot could be positioned in a retail store, for example, and that robot will go up and down the aisles looking for anomalies, looking for gaps, looking for planogram compliance and all of those things. And that data is then fed through our Savanna platform and fed either to a human worker or potentially a robot worker to sort those things out. For example, planogram compliance. I've got Coca-Cola on the shelf and it's on the wrong shelf. That will create a workflow for someone or a piece of technology to go and correct. Where I have got tomato soup on the shelf and there's only two left. And we know historically, we're now moving into the autumn season, the colder months are coming, people are going to want more tomato soup. So that creates a workflow opportunity for someone or a piece of technology to then ensure that we've got enough tomato soup on the shelf.
That's really a great example. And I think this approach of connecting the human workers that still exist in some operations and probably will exist for a long time in some operations, and connect those to the robot worker, let's call it that way, and then there can be also a smooth transition from the robots to the humans, where the humans are only fulfilling repetitive tasks and boring tasks and where tasks actually where you better off with a robot in the future, and you can free up your personnel for the really creative tasks and of the future, right?
Correct.
Is that kind of also the approach that Zebra is taking on that side?
Yes, it is. At Zebra, we're really not a big fan of silos. We want to ensure that humans and technology are really well connected, that they're connected safely, that they're connected on a morally supportive level. So again, our teams are working together creatively to figure a lot of these things out. How can we break down those barriers between technologies? How can we ensure that we've got exposed, secure APIs for not just us to use, but for our partner community to use as well, to create more than the sum of their parts? And we're more than happy to work with all sorts of people to bring these things about, because remember, it comes back to those two reasons why we exist: to increase our customers' productivity and to decrease their errors.
Great. Paul, thank you very much for those statements on Zebra Logistics. Really great insight on that. Thank you for that. And I also saw that you started your own YouTube channel, right? Not only podcast. You are on YouTube right now. Is that correct? Is this Paul itself, or is it for Zebra Logistics, or is this in any way connected? And what are your goals with that? And what are you doing there?
I knew this question would come up. and thank you for raising that question, Marco. So yes, I've started a YouTube channel because I am passionate about people. I'm passionate about the skills that anyone can have, and it's absolutely possible to pick up new skills. Even in this whole thing of lockdown, I've picked up a number of skills that I probably wouldn't have picked up without COVID. Again, silver lining, opportunity. So I've decided to start up this YouTube channel all around skills. Think about skills as a toolbox. If you've and all of us have got roughly the same size toolbox, you may have a skill in communicating. I may have a skill in video editing. If we collaborate, there is an opportunity for a third skill to come out. And I'm a big fan of collaboration. And I often find that collaboration is much more powerful than competition. So what I've done is I've decided to start up this YouTube channel all around sharing skills, all around, and a lot of people are talking about it, but giving back. How can I, as a someone who spans between Generation X and being a millennial, they call that a zennial, how can I transfer my skill set, what I know, what I've learned, to the next generation? So many people are talking about giving back, but I am absolutely passionate about how do we pass these things on? How do we pass on the simple things of being able to effectively communicate to a generation who are digital intuitives, who will have more conversations on their mobile devices than sitting down and having a face-to-face conversation with someone? How do we give them those skills and those tools to be able to do exactly what we're doing at the moment? So that's the channel. It's not been going for very long, but I have a few followers already. The channel is called True North, so it's a play on words of north, south, in terms of north.
I got it.
Of course, there are two. There are two norths that we have. We have Magnetic North, we have True North. So it's a bit of a play on finding your direction, finding your true north.
All right. So check out this YouTube channel. One last question that I really want to ask everybody in the show is, what do you think is the future for logistics? And if my mission is, let's get to high tech with logistics, so what would be your imagination for the future of logistics?
That's a great question. And I alluded to it a little bit earlier. The statement that I gave you, which was collaboration is much more powerful than competition. I would love to see a platform where all logistics companies get together and they have one sole purpose, and that is to support all of their customers. Let's take things like plastics in the world. How can a logistics organization, with all of the workflows that they have, focus on clearing plastics? I believe it's a adjacent industry. And I believe that it could truly be possible for our seas to be cleared of plastics, working with logistics companies, working with creatives, artists, broadcasters, all sorts. Because again, collaboration, working together, will be much more powerful than competition. So for me, one of the changes I'd like to see in logistics is how can we recycle, repurpose, how can we clean our planet, how can we ensure that we are creating a safe space for the next generation? Because for me, it kind of feels like us humans are on this planet, and it feels like we've got another planet to go to because we're not treating this one particularly well. So I would love to see how we pull that together. And I'm more than happy to roll up my sleeves to do what I can and put my money where my mouth is. But I would love to see that. I really
so
would.
Logistics not goes only high tech, it also goes sustainability, right?
Correct.
Great. Thank you very much, Paul. It was great having you here on the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for the opportunity again, Mark. Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That was the Logistics Tribe podcast episode with Paul Norford from Zebra Technologies. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Make sure you subscribe to the Logistics Tribe podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. I'm Boris Vegandrea. Until next time.